Okay, kind of a little background on taking the out of ET. We moved and had some eco-farming conferences. We actually started in 77. This was 79. One of our speakers told about this. You know, I was born on the high plains of eastern, southeastern Colorado. One of those dust storms in the 30s. And it ended up, you know, in South Carolina and so forth, blacked out things. Some real problems out in the high plains out there. He talked about seeing farmhouses become empty and so forth. So all these things were important, and I appreciate John White making those comments. And of course, you all know Nebraska's situation with Kansas and Colorado on water. That's another big problem we have, is that Kansas wants our water. This is McConaughey in 2005 when it got lower than it ever did before. The previous low was 1956, but it got a little bit lower, not a whole lot lower than it did in 56. We had a real drought in 54, 55, and 56 in Nebraska. And this is what some of the boat ramps look like at Lake McConaughey, which is our largest lake in the state. Just a little difficult to use those boat ramps under those conditions and so forth. This is the past summer. You know, we were blessed with good snow in Colorado and Wyoming, and so we got the reservoir. Actually, they had to let a bunch of water out this summer, spring, summer, and early fall here. And this is that boat ramp, much more usable and so forth. Well, but our big problem in Nebraska is what? We have an average there of about 22.78 inches, that dashed line, but you can see the extremes that we run into. I work out in North Platte, and you can see like in 2002, we had about 11 inches. In 2007, we had about 33 inches and so forth. So we vary a lot on precip. And, you know, this is the way we used to farm. When I grew up, and grew up actually in eastern Nebraska, I remember that drought, as I mentioned, 54, 55, and 56. You know, we go out there and plow and disc and so forth. Some of the operations the previous speaker discussed. And, you know, then we had to lister the corn because we dried out the surface, right? So we had to go down. Then we'd use go digs and cultivation and so forth. So if we had any moisture, we got rid of a lot of it. And if it did rain, we had a lot of soil erosion. Or if we had terraces, it'd end up in the terraces and so forth. Wind erosion was a big problem. And I remember growing up and seeing a lot of that wind erosion because we didn't have all the good herbicides. I remember what our corn crop in eastern Nebraska looked like some of those years, just about like this. No corn, and basically just stalks and so forth. And we actually fed cattle in eastern Nebraska, and we ended up hauling corn out of Minnesota. And that's not a real profitable enterprise, hauling corn all the way from Minnesota. Kind of reflects back the people hauling hay from Nebraska and South Dakota and so forth down here to Texas now. And we're number one in irrigation, moved past California and acres in 2007. And this is what we had for irrigation wells prior to 1940. This is what it looks like today. And with that, of course, we've got some problems on declining water levels and so forth. And you can see a number of those. And so we got to be concerned about that. I want a sustainable water use in our system. And, of course, we have a lot of irrigation. This gets us around to our taking the E out of ET. One of the things, the key to this program is you got to have good weed control. If you look at reduced tillage and so forth. We first started the program, we had some real application problems and so forth. We got our application techniques, I think, and we've done a lot of research over the years on that, of how to increase efficacy and manage spray drift. Very important. We teach this, taking the E out of ET. You know, I like to use the clickers, get the audience involved in that. Like, this is one of the questions I put up. In Nebraska, such a big football state that you want to get their attention, so you got to start off with something about football, right? And to me, I think the number one thing is water in Nebraska. Now, a lot of the people in Nebraska do check the ranking of the football team. Okay. Now, With bare soil, you know, we ask them this question, is about what percent of the crop water use in fully irrigated corn? And, you know, they're amazed, most people, to find out a third of the crop water use is evaporation. And we show them some work. Norm Kleckie, this is some work in Kansas, actually started this work in Nebraska and then has continued in Kansas, and shows that if you have to irrigate twice a week, it can be as high as 35%. And this is interesting. I think some of these slides we got really point out the situation. This is out northwest of Grant in 2005. It was talking about Lake McConaughey really getting dry that year. But I don't care if you had skip row corn or whatever it was, dry land corn, this is about what it looked like. Sunflowers didn't do any better. But in that same area was this cornfield, right in that same area. If you went and looked in the field, it looks a little bit different, doesn't it? Because there's residue on the ground here. I asked the farmer about what, you know, what's the history out here in your field? He says, well, 2 years ago I had a good wheat crop. Last year I planted corn, had a good corn crop. Heard about your skip row corn program, so thought I'll give it a try. Worked pretty good for him. But the difference was, is he had crop residue. And a lot of these systems only work with good amount or large amounts of crop residue. Then we get in here and we ask them, you know, the E and ET is about what percent if we plant that corn in some good wheat residue. And, of course, they're amazed that we can take that all the way from about 35 to 15, right? And you look at this, you know, down to 15 on the right here, and we might be as high as 35, especially if we did all that tillage, we would decrease the intake rates, right? Here we do long-term no-till. We can irrigate once a week. We can save 20% of our moisture. Well, fully irrigated corn uses how much moisture? 24, 27 inches, let's use 25. That's 5 inches of water we don't have to put on, right? And then if we got two or three, four tillage operations, there may be another couple inches of water. Shoot, we might save enough water, we'll have water to sell to Kansas, right? Yeah, okay. This is kind of interesting on soybean residue. Simon Van Dunk, who actually took Norm Kleckie's place at Nebraska, wanted to see if soybeans would have much in effect, because there's not much residue from soybeans. So they actually went in and raked off the residue. They didn't till it like you normally would, but they just raked it off. And you can see they irrigated according to the soil moisture blocks for where the residue was. Now, they could have put on more water and probably raised the where they took the residue off. But irrigating that way at about 27 bushels difference, you know, just that little bit of soybean residue. So you can see how valuable that residue is. Now, I always throw, you know, every once in a while in Nebraska, we got to throw something in about football and so forth. No, the reason this ended up in here is this farmer and his brother-in-law was flying over one of their cornfields, and this is in the early days when we started planting corn into wheat stubble. He noticed half the cornfield was greener in the other half. And I was county agent at the time down in that area, and so the farmer called me and he says, he called my attention to that, and so Gail Wicks and I went out and took yields. And this was, you know, back in the 70s. And if he wouldn't have had the comparison there, he would have thought that this was a pretty good yield. At 97 bushel, where he took the straw spreader off and baled that windrow straw. But where they left it on was 20 bushel better. And he noticed this part of the field was greener than the other half. In fact, they couldn't figure out why until they landed and went over to the field. And then they remembered on half the field, they took the straw spreader off, baled that windrow of straw, just to show how valuable that residue really is. And the farmer says, you know, I didn't come close to getting the value of 20 bushels of corn out of that straw. So he decided if he needed straw, he ought to keep his and buy it, you know, from his neighbor down the road. Okay, all have seen this thing on how much, you know, water is used by the crop and the response and so forth. This is one of our test plots down in the McCook area, and about the way I like to have it look in late October, like that. Right across the road was this field. Okay. Now, our plot, this is our average. I'm just showing part of the 42 varieties. We have 75 bushel. It's harvested with a stripper header, so we had idea. We went in and planted corn the next year in that plot, and the skip row corn, what it looked like, and our average is about 135 bushel. We're going to take a look at across the road there. Oh, this was one in the Harlan County. What you can really do if it's really timely rains, dry land corn in Nebraska, we'll probably never do this again. 79 hybrids, we averaged 205. Actually, we bit some irrigated ones that year. But let's go on across the road here. I think this is the slide we want to finish up on. How do you think his turned out? Well, he planted it early. So as you all know, with wheat, it gets a lot of diseases and so forth, right? So he ended up grazing it out. So he didn't have any good wheat stubble to plant in. He planted corn. What do you think his average was? Yeah, they were cutting it for silage. Yeah, this is what it looks like afterwards, you know. And then you got a real disaster, right? Because what do? You're supposed to fallow it the next summer. But what happens? Either it blows away or washes away. This is the worst question I get, yeah. So it just shows you the value of that residue. In fact, he planted wheat back that fall because he's concerned about erosion. I went out and I counted the number of heads, kernels per head, all that kind of good stuff, and I averaged about 13 bushel wheat. That farmer where we showed that planted corn back, he averaged, it was a pretty good year, 140 bushel continuous corn on that. And I think with that, do we have time for one question or something or not?
We have probably time for a quick question, sure.
Is there any questions? If not, we'll turn it back. Okay, just a minute. Okay, yeah.
So if a person is taking an annual moisture drop, you think that you should implement some tillage there to keep that soil erosion from occurring?
We would basically say, you know, on our dry land in western Nebraska, you don't want to take something for forage. You want to use your irrigated land for that, and or have land set aside for alfalfa or something like that. But we really discourage, you really need that crop residue, and that's why I like stripper headers and so forth. But very good question. You just don't want to take the forage. Okay, I better turn it back. I guess it's okay.
Let's thank Dr. Klein.